Outdoors coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun. Our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org.
Good morning, everybody. This is Inside Outdoors on WFHB Radio right here in Bloomington, Indiana, and I'm here this morning with my partner, Alan Bronnenberg, and producer, director, magic man in the booth, Rich Reardon. Say hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Give us that lake report, Rich.
Well, hey, you know, we're starting out here. It's not getting too much colder. It's 68.4 degrees right now in Lake Monroe down by the dam, and I was kind of surprised at that. I thought maybe with some of the cold weather we've been having, it would have been lower, but we are at 538.17, which is normal pool. And I guess it's going down, but it's not going down real fast. That's all I have to for us.
It's definitely not going down very fast, guys. Usually when the lake starts giving up its warmth, there's fog on the lake every morning. There's been no fog on the lake at all.
Man, this morning there was 34 degrees at my house. It
Ooh.
Was probably pretty nippy down at the lake, I would think.
You know, it was, but it wasn't 34, Don. I don't think it got into the 30s this morning. I think I had 42 when I woke up at about 6:30 this morning. So.
Well, you're benefiting from the lake effect, obviously.
Exactly so. You're exactly right. So, and that always tells us the lake's got a little bit of heat left in it. When it gets cold behind me, it's still a little warm in front of me. So it works just the opposite in the spring.
Yes. I used to live on a lake in Wisconsin.
It froze
6 feet thick in the winter, you know. Talking about air conditioner, that lasted until June.
Oh, man, that would have been nice.
Not so nice.
Well, yeah. When you're looking for some heat, yeah, probably not.
Not so nice, yeah. Well, in any case, we had a question raised this week that I'm going to go about answering right now, since we're a little shorter now in our show than we used to be. We get to business.
Hey, and if I can just jump in real quick, I did want to mention that in the beginning, but we have changed our format of the show just slightly. We're no longer going to be coming into the studio. We'll be shortening the show up a little bit to a half an hour. We're still starting, as you know, because you're listening, at 7 a.m. every Saturday morning. But I just did want to mention that in case you're wondering why we shut down a little early. We're no longer going to be in the studio. It's just too much for us to get downtown and all get together and get the show done. So this way, at least we have all the pertinent information for you, and there you go.
So, Rich, why don't you tell us then what it is that I was tracking down here today?
Sure. Well, I got an email earlier, and he was talking about the fact that there is, I'm going to look up the email right now just so I can tell you, but he basically, there's a Halloween kind of camping going on. I don't really know much about it. It's at Paintown. And apparently folks like to get together down there. And you know, just sort of get together and wear their costumes and have a big party and that kind of thing.
This is getting popular everywhere. I've seen this on the news.
True. And well, and what he said was that the basically the DNR has turned off the water to one of the or I don't know whether it's one or all of the bathrooms.
What?
And yeah, he said the main campground bathroom will be shut down by shutting off the water supply. And he told he was also told that the campground is heavily booked because, again, it's become a thing for campers to camp there on Halloween, dress in costume.
It's heavily booked, and yet we're shutting down the facilities.
I don't know whether that's at the same town or whatever, but I told that to Don, and he has checked it out. So, Don, what'd you find out?
Okay. According to Emily down at the office, the water will not be shut off at any campgrounds until Thursday, November the 4th.
Okay.
Is that the end of campground season?
No.
Okay.
Paintown stays open all year long. Okay. But it closes down all but one comfort station will close on November the 4th, at which time they go to winter rates where non-electric sites from $12 to $16. Electric rates from $16 to $18. Anyway, the winter rates will begin on November the 4th. The second weekend, the water will be shut down, the second weekend in November. So that would be the weekend after this is over. And you're right about the Halloween thing at Paintown. The DNR even gives awards for various categories of decoration.
Best costume and
Emily had not heard of anything about shutting the water off for the campgrounds.
Okay,
so there you have it. It sounds like a pretty wild rumor, but you know, it's worth checking out. You never know.
It is, and you know what? We're just the guys to get to the bottom of it.
Well, I hope so. And I do wanted to mention, I didn't know that they stayed open all winter long. After they closed down all of the comfort stations and the water access at the site, they have one winterized water spigot, which is there all winter long, and you can go down there and camp all winter long if you want. I don't know why you would want to, but it is open.
And, well, it's a specialized kind of vacation, I'm sure. You know, in the end, it used to be that the DNR and the feds down hard and red share stopped manning the gate and collecting entry fees at some point. Do you know if the DNR does that, Don?
No,
over there?
No, they do not. They do not do that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you're going to pay the entry fee all winter long.
If you're going to go to Paintown and launch your boat, it's going to cost you $7 unless you got a launch permit.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So.
You can't just drive down there and launch your boat without, you know, documentation and paid the fee, et cetera.
Okay. Good.
It's
good
like
to know.
Entering a state park. It's a state park, remember.
You know,
it's not a reservoir anymore. It's a state park. And you ever hear of a state park that lets you in the gate without paying anything having budget?
Well, the federal parks do that. I mean, some of them anyway. I mean,
well,
some of them
are,
like, just don't pay.
They
you know, they've got some MBA crunching the numbers who's figured out, okay, if we pay somebody to sit there, it's going to cost us X. And if we just leave the gate open and not man it, we'll save money because we're not going to make enough money to pay these guys' salaries. So I know that that's happened. Evidently, the DNR feels differently about that, though.
Apparently. I know you got to, if you want to go down there and ice fish, I'm pretty sure you got to pay at the gate. So why would you want to go down there and ice fish?
I don't know, Don. Your question is a good one. I don't have an answer for it.
Okay, so much for that. So we really can't trust the DNR. For many reasons. And
I'm with you.
Are well founded.
Well found.
Okay, so fishing. Fish were biting on and off for the past week. Crappies, especially, but some nice bluegills and some largemouth have been caught and farm ponds. So of course farm ponds are always good, but now if you want to catch some nice fish, that's the place to go. And if you're going to fish at Monroe or at Cataract would be nice if you had minnows. At Monroe, it might help if you had some bee moth to put on your tip on your jig, because you can catch those crappies at Monroe, those little wafer guys, all day long down there with that rig. So there you go. And the fish that is most abundant for catching at Lake Monroe are channel catfish. There's a lot of channel catfish, and there are big channel catfish, and there are small channel catfish. They're good to eat at 2 or 3 pounds. And if you just want something to pull on your line, you can't beat them. Unfortunately, other people like to catch other species too.
Yeah. So I guess the question, Don, is, I mean, there's an entire industry here supporting the lake, and that the lake supports for bass fishing. Do they have channel cat tournaments here? I don't know. I mean, you would think that with the abundance of that fish, that there would be some tournaments that would focus on channel catfish, but I don't know.
Well, not that I know of. There are catfish tournaments, but they're not talking channel catfish specifically. They're they're going for big fish.
Yeah. Okay.
It'd be flatheads and blue cats.
Okay.
So far as channel catfish goes, the tournaments, a guy from Crappiethon, Daryl Van Vector.
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, I do.
Told me once that when you look out on the lake, you can identify a bass fisherman. You can tell them by how they're fishing, what gear they got, what boat they're in.
Sure.
You can identify a crappie fisherman by where they're fishing and how they're fishing, et cetera, et cetera. You cannot identify a guy who's out there targeting channel catfish. You cannot identify a guy who's out there targeting bluegill, because they are sitting in their John boat a lot, just dangling bait on the bottom. That's right. Although channel catfish, you can fish them just like you would fish for bass, and that's how I usually catch them. And they're pretty easy to find at Lake Monroe. And I got nothing against the critters, but I would like to catch some big bluegills. they're hard to come by at Lake Monroe.
They really are, and that just harkens back to my childhood of living vacations on a lake in northern Indiana, and we had bluegill and lake perch like most people have hamburgers. I mean, I could pick the bones out of a bluegill, because my grandfather never filleted anything. When I was 4 years old, there would be a pile of bluegill and lake perch on the table, 8 or 10 inches tall. You'd have a hard, long week of fishing here to put that kind of a spread on a table now.
You'd have a hard time doing that anywhere now.
Yeah.
Lake Michigan was a tremendous source of lake perch. Catch a lot of lake perch, and all the restaurants around the lake. There are hardly any anymore, and what's there are tiny little things. And
they are.
You catch them about as often in Lake Monroe. There are some in Lake Monroe. You might catch one one or two a year.
I'll tell you what, you want an excellent treat next time you're heading to Wisconsin, Don, just before you go over the Skyway, take a left on 95th Street toward Calumet, and a few miles that way through some really bad territory is Calumet Fisheries, and the most delicious smoked lake perch, fresh caught lake perch, are right there. Amazing food. Such a bad part of the country, I'd eat there. I'd drive up there just for that.
I was gonna say, next time you go up there, pick some up for me, will you?
I will. I'll bring back enough for all of us. I will, I promise. Really,
I'm not ready for the combat zone.
No, yeah. I'm old enough now to just, you know, not even look like a victim. So I might be okay. So next time I go that way, I'll drive through there and bring enough back for everyone.
Well, I got another tip for you. Up there at Crown Point, Hammond area, there's a restaurant named T-Bowls, which if you haven't heard of, you may have heard of it already.
Oh, no. What's the name again?
T-Bowls.
T-Bowls.
T-Bowls. Okay. It's right on the highway when you're coming into Hammond there.
Oh, okay.
It's a big old restaurant.
By highway, you mean 41?
I'm not sure. It might be 41.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And anyway, they still serve lake perch.
Oh, man.
Filleted lake perch, fried, and they're excellent. And I don't know where they get them, but they're getting them someplace, and they still are pretty much the same they always have been. When I worked up there, I used to eat there all the time.
That's a great tip, Don. Thanks.
Good place.
Yeah.
There aren't too many places around Lake Michigan anymore that serve them, though.
There are none.
There are some, but nothing like there used to be.
No.
Of course, nothing is like it used to be, as we know.
Nothing is like it used to be, including me.
Okay, well, did you have something you wanted to alert us about, Alan?
Guys, so, you know, I'm just looking at this big picture. So, you know, we got this format change. Our buddy Bill has, put a sweet kiss on the past. And I'm just looking at the future of what outdoors looks like. I live here on Lake Monroe. I look around me and, you know, I know what's happening to Lake Monroe. I know what's happening to other lakes. One of the things here locally that's foremost in the mind, I think, of probably the residents of Lake Lemon and those who like to go fish there is this dredging project coming up in 2022. There's just so many things to talk about here, and I won't have time to go into them all. But I just think, you know, just let me start out by saying, what I think all of us want more than anything is for our great grandchildren to at least have a piece of what we have treasured so much in our lives. And the only way that's going to happen at this point is through large projects. The assault on the environment is big, it's wide, it's more than me collecting the water off my roof, recycling my bubble gum wrappers. There's big things that are going to have to happen. I look at this project at Lake Lemon. Dredging has been a pariah for a long, long time, and probably for good reasons. The country.
Hold on, can I ask you a question, Brad? What brought about the dredging project in the first place, and who's doing it?
Yeah, so that's a fascinating topic that would take all day. But the short version the Lake Conservancy District, who is in charge of the taxing and the operations of defined area around Lake Lemon, identified the fact that the siltation coming in from Brown County has reduced the amount of shoreline and the depth of the lake to the point that it threatens the viability and the sustainability of the lake.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So we see the same thing here in Lake Monroe. I mean, if you've driven your boat up on the shallow end, you know that what used to be 10 foot and that you could dive in with your kids on the weekend, parking there, off your boat, into the water and never hit your head on the bottom is now not the case. You dive in like I used to dive in up in the shallow part in many areas, and you're going to hit your head on the bottom at about 4 feet instead of 10 feet.
Is this Lake Lemon you're talking about?
Lake Monroe now, but the same thing is true of Lake Lemon. And I think that's the crossover done. You've actually hit exactly, you know, the problem for me. I live on Lake Monroe. I know what many people who are looking at Lake Monroe in terms of sustainability are talking about. And I just think there's a short-term thinking here that probably isn't going to solve any problems. I just think that in the end, we're looking at dredging. We're looking at the reclamation of large tens of thousands of acres of Lake Monroe through similar processes, including riprapping the shoreline to prevent some of this. And I think that's how all this came about, is that, you know, I'm looking at the problems of Lake Monroe. They're creeping up on us. A lot of people, well-meaning, think they have solutions, or they're looking for solutions. There are no small solutions here. Anybody thinks they're going to come up with a little plan to save Lake Monroe is kidding themselves. Lake Lemon is about 10 years older than Lake Monroe. It's an essentially the exact same ecosystem. It's fed by a large creek that comes out of Brown County, where there's no zoning laws that we can control here in this county. And it is siltating the aquifer unsustainably. So the interesting part about that situation is that Lake Lemon was built by Bloomington Utilities with grants from a number of people. Okay. They were able to start a lake conservancy or water conservancy district. So that means the landowners around that lake have a stake in the operations of that lake. Because the state did not build it, because the feds did not build it, that lake conservancy district funds their ability to do things like riprap the shoreline and dredge the lake so that it doesn't look like a swamp one day, is different from Lake Monroe. So the DNR leases this. It was done by and paid for the Army Corps of Engineers, and the ability for rapid action to change the sustainability of Lake Monroe is dramatically reduced. And I think somehow or another, those talking about saving Lake Monroe, friends of Lake Monroe, whoever you are, you know, are going to have to grasp a larger solution that's going to have to include big projects. And in the end, what's always happened here, I've seen a half a dozen people who are very much like the friends of Lake Monroe. They have the greatest intentions, but in the end, they have no ability to control what's going on around this lake, because there's too many large governmental stakeholders who have no interest in doing it.
Well, so, there's also a public that has not much interest in doing it.
Agreed.
People live on the lake. So there you go.
You're so right. So in the end, the difference between Lake Lemon funding the dredging, which they've done themselves, which means the homeowners around Lake Lemon have funded the dredging of it to sustain their lake, can't happen here. The DNR, the feds, no one collects any resources from docking a boat, having a bass tournament, or doing anything on Lake Lemon except the conservancy district. and they're using that money to sustain their lake. On Lake Monroe, the DNR is the sole recipient of monies going into the usage of the lake. They have no such plans. And I think there is the real difference that needs to be addressed about the sustainability and the future of the lake that I look at 24/7, and that many, many people love using. I will just say this too. So here's the interesting thing is that as you all, we'll get to this next week. I realize I'm at the end of my time, so I'm going to seal this up and we'll do part two next week.
Oh boy.
Stand by.
Well, you know, it's great information. We are on a shorter schedule now, and I did want to bring up a couple other things before we leave here. Big game, Woodland big game. Fall archery is still on till October 31st for wild turkey. It starts up again December 4th through January 2nd, 2022. Fall firearm will be over this weekend, so you got a couple of days. Till tomorrow.
Fall firearms for turkey.
Turkey. Now for deer, I'll just go through this real quick. Where archery is on until January 2nd. Firearms start November 13th through the 28th. Muzzleloader December 4th through the 19th. Antlerless is closed, and reduction zone goes on until 31st. You can look that up on the
Upland
DNR
game.
Site.
What's the Upland game date?
Upland game, let me see here.
November 4th, 7th?
November 1st. For pheasant, November 1st through December 15th.
Nice.
Quail, north of I-74, November 1st through 17th. South of 74 for us till January 10th. Rabbit, November 1st through February 28th.
Wow.
February 28th on rabbit.
Wow. Yep. That, I didn't realize it was that long.
It didn't used to be.
Wow.
Well, they must think there's a lot more rabbits than I think there is. But
I guess so.
I would say it's going to take me till February 28th to find a rabbit on my property.
Yeah.
Well, you come to town, they're all over the place. That's true.
Hey, and lastly, I do want to mention again that we're on a shorter schedule now. We're not coming in, so I'm real sorry we can't take your phone calls, but you can still call in to the show. At the same number, 323-1200, and leave a message there, and we'll get the message. They send it over to us. And also, we are interested in having guests on our Zoom. So if you contact us through Inside Outdoors on Facebook or call into the station, they'll get us the message, and we'd be glad to schedule you on one of our Zoom contacts.
Really, we're not shy. Call in, write in, email, you know.
And so we got about another minute. Okay, so anything else going on?
Yeah. I got a request in our future shows. I want to hear bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you weren't going to go away with that, were you?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to have the biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. Well, we're tweaking it all for a half an hour, I will be glad to do that. Okay. I'll get that together next week.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll see y'all next week. We had a good time talking to you. Are we done now, Rich?
We got about 30 seconds. 30
seconds.
I do want to say thanks for listening. We did our last live show last weekend, and Buddy Bill came in, so you can still hear that on our website. All things must pass, as old George Harrison said, and just a little too early and dangerous for us old guys.
Yeah, we're all getting old.
It's breaking me up buying the lidocaine patches to put on my back to get out of bed early enough to get there.
That's it. We'll be back.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on WFHB with hosts Don Jordan, Rich Reardon, Buddy Bill Moser, and D. Allen Brandenburg. And by the way, if you missed the show, you can listen online at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com or right here on WFHB's website under Public Affairs. We hope to see you next week, right here on Inside Outdoors.